If, like us, you don't believe there's some chap with a beard in the sky deciding stuff for you, if maybe, like us, you don't buy into some magical force called karma that equalizes the bad things people do, and what if, like us, you don't put your faith in the universe bringing you what you need? How on earth do you navigate life changes when the world throws you a ton of curveballs? That's what we're talking about in this episode. It's called From Lost to Leading. Welcome to the boardroom.
I think it's fair to say, Joe, that life has thrown us a lot of curveballs in our lives. I think like the last couple of years have been like sort of one massive curveball, I think, in terms of the pandemic and everything that that's done. But for us both, I think over the years, it's been, I think it's fair to say, a pretty mixed bag, isn't it?
I mean, definitely. If you are watching this on YouTube, if it manages to get to YouTube, you'll have noticed me freeze on screen in the most ridiculous looking pose as well. And this is because even today, there's so many curveballs today. My background, I'm in a porter cabin because my Wi-Fi wasn't working when you run an online business from home. That is an absolute nightmare. So I've been gifted a local manufacturer's porter cabin to work in and record this today. So thank you very much to McKenna Brothers for that one. But aside from that, I think it's so fair to say that every single day we're navigating life challenges, aren't we? Whether they are relationship based, whether there are careers, business ones, health, whatever they are, being able to find, I think, the resilience within you to pick yourself up can be really difficult, can't it?
Yeah, and I think it is. I think it's that acceptance, isn't it? That, I mean, they say the only constant is change. And it's weird, isn't it? Because like we're kind of brought up to fear change. Change is a bad thing and it's difficult and it whatever. But actually, we just need to be massively prepared that things are going to change all of the time. And some of those things are going to be within your control. Some of those things are outside of your control. And I guess what we want to talk about on here today is that, how do you reclaim control, get back that feeling of your own personal power when life just throws you those curveballs, which, like you say, can happen in any kind of way on any day.
Yeah, and also it's quite interesting just to pick up on change. Our brain and body is not wired for that. It's wired, the brain's wired for predictability. There we go. Look, the lights have now gone off. I'm going to do a dance like this. If you're watching it on YouTube, honestly, you couldn't make this up today. So I'm now looking pink. There we go. I'm going to be able to continue with this podcast. That like, is hilarious, isn't it? For those of you listening to audio rather than watching online, I am now glowing pink with no lights in the porter cabin. So there you go. We will just continue. The show
It
goes
does
on.
look a little bit like a brothel, Joe.
It does, doesn't it?
It does look a little bit like you're shining your red light in the hope of getting some customers.
Life's throwing this at me right now as we're recording live. This is going to be such a hilarious episode. I was saying that being able to, I've got to carry on, right? We've got to carry on. We're recording this live at the moment. So, but our brains and bodies are not wired for that change, even if, and I think a lot of us associate change with it's bad. Maybe that's like a change of your job or something that's happened in your life. But even if that's good change, that can be very dysregulating because the brain is wired for comfort, support, and predictability. And any kind of change or anything we're navigating means we're going to stretch that comfort zone.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it? Because we do, have this inbuilt thing there that, change is destabilizing, like you say, and it's to be avoided and it's to be feared, and it's trying to get yourself, isn't it, to that point of, but actually on the other side of this change could be something better than what I've got right now. Because sometimes, like you say, let's take a relationship, because those are probably some of my best examples, is that you know, you fear like the end of that relationship and you fear what's on the other side of it. And you tell yourself stories about being on your own and being lonely and going through the heartbreak and all the rest of it. But we rarely then look at the fact that, well, currently, okay, so whilst it's stable at the moment, I'm desperately unhappy in the situation that I'm in. So the current situation is awful, but for some reason we fear the unknown on the other side, like more than that. And I guess sometimes if we choose to make change, it's only when the current situation becomes so untenable that it's like, I can't stay like this anymore. I've got to make some change, even though I'm fearful of that change. I'm fearful of the unknown on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, because I work with so many clients on whether it is like it's usually around either improving your life or improving your performance at work or combination of those things, really. And if you think about those changes, life changes, as goals to work towards, that, you know, the future to work towards, the problem is for many people is that there are all these things that get in the way, like, you know, fear of the unknown. And that's going to be normal because we don't have a crystal ball to predict that. But the people that make progress, and I think you said it before, is you have to want something to be different or better than the current state in order to go and achieve it. There's a whole lot of complex neurobiology involved in setting and achieving goals and making change in your life. So no wonder it's flipping hard for people. And, you know, at times you can feel incredibly lost, can't you? You know your current situation isn't what you want. For some people it's, well, I know what I don't want, but I don't know what it is that I do want. And then when you kind of have decided what the change is, then comes this whole neurobiology that we have as humans that make it incredibly difficult to move towards that new change.
And I think, because I've had several things in my life, you know, big changes that have happened to me in my life. And when I've been going through that, I have literally felt like I am stumbling from one crisis to another. Yeah. You know, I described to somebody recently that I felt like at times that I've just been in this washing machine on a constant sort of cycle of being tumbled about and feeling like I'm drowning. And you know, sometimes when you're going through that process, it that's what's really frightening, isn't it? Because you feel so discombobulated that you can't always see the other side. And like you said, there have been moments in my life where I felt completely lost with the things that I've gone through. And you know, particularly when, you know, things never really happen in isolation, do they? We don't have like lots of stability going on, and then like one little, you know, pimple of difficulty comes along in one area of our lives. Typically, these things all, they come together, don't they? And I'm sure that's, you know, not the case just for me. And I think, you know, we've talked as well about, at this point in our lives, as women as well, you know, there will be changes going on. I mean, God, there's changes going on in the world outside and beyond us. But actually, as women, there can be change going on within us, because at this point in our life, in that like midlife stage, kind of facing down the barrel of the gun, that's the menopause as well.
Yeah, but actually, if you think about it, I think I've been reflecting a lot over the last few months, because I would say there are key milestones in my life that have meant that I've had huge wobbles where I felt lost. But actually, if you go, I don't think it's just for maybe women at our stage of life. If you think about women as we grow, like from puberty into all the way through our life stage, through to menopause and all of that, we've always got this like very different hormonal aspect to our lives that guys just don't have in the same way. And for me last year, getting to half a century, oh my gosh, I never thought I would, that day would arrive. You know, when you're young, you just think, oh, you know, 50's really old, right? And I don't feel really old. However, I know certain milestones, birthdays are big ones for me. Every time there's a zero after the number, for some reason, so whether that was particularly 30, I didn't want to be 30. I thought I was so old when I was 30. I was like, oh my God, that where did those 20 years just fly by? 40 was another one, 50. And I just feel at times very, very lost. Like, what have I done with my life? My hormones now have been everywhere at the same time. Is this because I feel lost, because I feel like I've not achieved very much in the world? Or is it because my hormones are just going crazy? It can be very, very difficult. And I think for, you know, the accompanying stuff that goes on for women as well. So going through, okay, your relationship, maybe then you get married, maybe then you have kids, maybe you're then the juggling and navigating everything at the same time, trying to be a professional, trying to be a good parent, a good partner, feel like you're failing. And then you start, you know, kids grow up, maybe you go, you know, it's empty nesting, maybe you're then starting to be the carer for elderly parent. You know, there is so much for women going on that no wonder it can leave you feeling very, very lost and confused.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I think, you know, we've talked about it before, haven't we, in terms of that comparison. And I think we make comparisons between ourselves and other people, and we know that comparison is the thief of joy. But I think there is also that comparison, like you say, within yourself, because you're comparing your 50-year-old self to your 40-year-old self. Have I done enough? You know, how far have I come? What goals did I have? Have I achieved them? Have I not? Where have I ended up versus where I thought I would be? And you're right. And then you sort of have that inner critic and that comparison within yourself that's going on. And then you're looking at the world outside of you as well and comparing yourself with other people. And it, you know, there is, we just heap it upon ourselves. And you're right, you know, who knows, you know, it's very difficult to tell, isn't it, when you're in amongst it, as to what part your hormones are playing in that at any one particular time. And, you know, we know that the menopause, you know, has a long time period on it in terms of when it might happen to somebody, or when they might get into perimenopause, and even if they think they are or they're not. You know, there's lots of layers to it all the time, isn't there, in terms of, you know, like how we feel about the change that's going on. And you're right, you know, I've felt at times like just completely lost and not in control of my own life.
Yeah, and also just for listeners, we'll have a wide age range, I think, of listeners. And just so you know, women, younger women, if you're kind of thinking, oh, here are these two midlife women talking about perimenopause, menopause, and you don't relate to it, Carolyn, you went through menopause. It started at 19, didn't it?
Yeah. I had premature ovarian insufficiency, is the technical term, known as POI. And yeah, so for me, I believe mine started at 19.
At 19, which meant for some of the things that I guess you wanted to know, like family, you know, having a family was really important to you, and it meant that you couldn't. All the way through to, some women may not even start menopause right until their late 50s, or even into their 60s, you know. So please, if you are a younger woman listening to this, please don't think this doesn't relate to you yet, and get as much education as you possibly can around this, because I know for me, I thought I was going insane. Probably for me, I reckon like my late 30s, I noticed changes in me that affected things like confidence, and I started to get anxious about things, and then I started to get you know, physical symptoms of this sort of into my early 40s. And of course I got checked out by the doctors, investigated for all sorts of things, heart conditions, my uterus, all sorts of things, that ovarian cancer, all sorts of things that actually, you know, they could find nothing wrong with me. And I kept saying, is this my hormones? And they just weren't listening. And it, thankfully, it's getting better. But I just wanted to say, you know, please don't dismiss, if you are younger listening to this, that perimenopause, menopause can happen when you're really quite young in life too.
Absolutely. And I think that's the thing, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm a 49-year-old woman, and actually I'm postmenopausal, and I've been postmenopausal since my early 30s, you know, when I got diagnosed Having gone through the menopause, I was 32 and it was already over. So I actually sometimes feel like a bit of a fraud at 49 talking about the menopause, because I'm not actually a menopausal woman, because I've been there and I've done that and that ship has sailed. So I'm often speaking to groups of women, of my age, but actually I'm about the menopause and I'm not actually a menopausal woman. But, you know, the things that you describe are absolutely my 20s. That anxiety, the thinking I was going mad, the brain fog and the confusion, all of those things that women, often one of the first things that women go to their GP about is actually fear of dementia, because they do think they're going mad and they do think they're losing their mind. So, that in itself, is really scary. And like you referred to some of the things that you got tested for, all massive, really scary things that then the doctors put in front of you and go, oh, well, we'll test you for, ovarian cancer and all these things that you then got going on. But you're right. I think that sense of, dips in our confidence can happen at various points in our life. And I think it's about helping women to navigate that and sort of understand where they are, wherever they are right now. I think that's really it's the point of the broad room overall, not just this episode.
Yeah. And we've got, just by the way, if you're listening to this, there's a guide that accompanies this episode. You'll be able to find it in the show notes of the podcast and you can download it. We just want to give, I guess, as much value as we can based on our experiences as two broads that, have really had to navigate all sorts of our aspects of personal and professional lives, but probably have nobody we really could speak to about or related to. And when we've been talking to each other, it's like, oh my gosh, that's me. That was me. And I never voiced it. We've often joked that we're the same person, don't we? So
yeah, that's the thing. And I think you're right, I know that, for example, my POI, is really unusual. It's rare for somebody to go through it. It's not, it's not unheard of. And there's more and more information coming out about POI, which is also great. The more that the menopause conversation is getting going, then POI is being recognized. Bizarrely, it's actually pretty much the only thing around menopause that GPs get trained on during their normal GP training. So apparently POI is a thing that they recognize, even though menopause is not, which is ironic. But I think, it is that thing of just, like I say, wanting to walk alongside women and navigate that change, because my confidence has come and gone, regardless of sort of the menopause and the hormonal stuff, I think, throughout my life, as I've gone through those different periods of time, because, we're all just working it out as we go along, aren't we?
We are. And then there'll be certain situations. So menopause and hormones aside, whether that is, that confidence thing in our careers, to speak up, to speak out. We've done an episode around that. If you're feeling your lack of confidence, or you're doubting yourself, how you stand tall and make yourself heard, or whether that is sometimes we're doing something in our professional life for the very first time, aren't we? Maybe it's a meeting that we've never done, had to chair before, or we've done, or a presentation, and suddenly, fight flight kicks in. Maybe our inner critic, who are you to do this? And it can feel very difficult, and it affects our confidence. You've got a tip under broads. It begins with B, and it's something I'm a really big fan of.
Yeah.
To help you in those moments, tell us what it is.
Yeah, it's actually breathing, which sounds like really common sense, doesn't it? Try breathing. We wouldn't be here if we weren't breathing. But, I think, the things I've picked up from you, Joe, are your expertise around the real power of getting your breathing under control and really using that to tune into and calm down your central nervous system. I don't know if you want to say, because I know that you have different types of breathing, don't you? But it is about that controlled breathing to calm yourself down.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of ways, and you're absolutely right, because our breath is automatic. It's predictable, it's automatic. But in this day and age, we send our nervous systems and brains into this, into fight or flight, or even freeze in situations, because whether that's through our thoughts, you know, we're thinking we're not good enough, or we've got to tackle something, and we've got maybe our inner critic, my Nina nitpicker, I call her, in my head, who has never a good thing to say. What if I do this and I fail? Or what, all of those things, that impacts how our body feels. So brain and body are both sides of the same coin. Our thoughts affect what we feel in the body. So if that's going on and we're feeling stressed, or we're feeling overwhelmed about and anxious about, well, what's the future look like, because we don't have a crystal ball, then our brain thinks, Joe, Carolyn, your life is under threat and I need to save it in this moment. Just as if, you know, in caveman times, we had to fight, you know, the dinosaur or the saber-toothed tiger or whatever, and it kicks the body into fight or flight, or even freeze at times as well. And that sends cortisols, the stress neurochemicals, and adrenaline into the body. And therefore we feel that in the body, because in that moment, you have to be able to mobilize and either fight back or run away. And so therefore, all the resources go to the parts of your body that need them. So your muscles tense, but also this is where the breath comes in. Shallow breathing. Now, what happens is, you know, often we are, our life is not genuinely under threat in work situations, in going in to do a presentation or whatever that fear of the future is. It's not in that moment under threat, but the brain perceives it to be a threat. So it will react in exactly the same way. To dial down that threat response in the body, your breath is really, really powerful. So you have box breathing. Share how you do that, box breathing. That really calms you down.
Yeah, I think that it really helps. I think the really important thing with box breathing is that the first thing you do is actually exhale, because quite often we think when we're going to do breathing to calm ourselves down that our first reaction actually is to inhale. But first and foremost with box breathing is to breathe out for four counts, to actually empty the lungs, because in and of itself, that does actually calm you down. And then, so you breathe out for four, you then hold the breath out for four, then breathe in for four counts, and hold the breath in for four counts, and then obviously repeat it. So exhale for four counts, leave it out for four counts, inhale for four counts, and hold it in. And for me, you know, that first exhale, because I was somebody, like you say, with that whole fight, flight, whatever, you know, I've listened to you talk about this before, Joe, and I was like, oh my word. It was like you'd been inside my life, but I used to spend a lot of my time really tense. I carry a lot of my tension in my shoulders. And you're right, that shallow breath and holding it all in and gasping breaths all the time. So that first breath of just actually exhaling and letting all of that out, even in and of itself, is transformative, I think.
Yeah. And most of us, I think, are also not recognizing, you know, that we're holding our breath or our breath is shallow. And that becomes our kind of predictable kind of pattern, actually. And we're not supposed to live like that as human beings. That is, you know, there's danger to life. Do that for a short moment and then you overcome it. The reverse, though, so I think, yeah, absolutely. If you're feeling hypervigilant and anxious and stressed like that, taking in a deep breath can make that worse. It prods the nervous system to go kick it even more. But for some people, when they're going through life changes, they may dissociate. So the freeze effect, if you think about it, sometimes you might need for that, you know, like, and you don't feel motivated, you don't feel like you can do very much. So a different way of breathing would be to, instead of the exhale first, it would be to take the deep breaths in. That will give your nervous system a kick in the opposite direction. So there are loads of different breath techniques, breathing techniques, but the very first thing to do, so, is to be aware, how am I experiencing what's going on in my body in this moment? Do I need to take a deep exhale first and box breathe? do I actually need to take a big breath in? So being body aware, I think, because the other side of what I was saying is how your body feels then can also inform your thinking. So if in your body you are feeling very dysregulated and it doesn't feel good, like you're getting the aches and pains, probably from maybe from tension in the muscles, or your heart starts racing, or you've got shallow breath, or your digestion goes offline, you know, you've got bad tummies and all of that, or you've got headaches. Notice that, because that then you start worrying, don't you? What's wrong with me?
Yeah.
That affects what you think, and it just becomes this perpetuating cycle. Mm. So breathe is a really simple thing to do to start you. What else can we do, Carolyn?
So, I mean, the R for me in broads is a tip about reviewing. I think you can't start to move forward unless you absolutely know where you are. So having that review and taking that moment to go, where am I right now? And just understanding the state of play, because I think, again, when we're in a state of flux, or like I said, feeling like we're going around in that washing machine and it's all tumbling about, that actually, you know, we're just flailing around. And I think that moment of review and going, right, where am I right now? And absolutely taking stock, I think, is really important, because only if you know that can you find what the steps are to go forward from there.
Yeah, and I think I'd add to that as well, sometimes being able to work with somebody to help you review is really important. So whether that is a really trusted friend, or whether you get, you know, seek a professional, some other form of professional support, a mentor, a coach, who would both do that kind of work too, don't we? Or another kind of confidant. I think that can be incredibly helpful, because when you're in that washing machine moment and everything is turning really, really fast, because the way our brain is working and if we're in fight or flight, then our capacity sometimes to think clearly with clarity goes offline, because that's the way our brain is working. I always talk about this. I have my little dude, my Frankenstein dude, who's kind of lives in that part ancient brain, the midbrain, who's going, save your life, you've got all this stuff going on. That bit of your brain here in the midbrain is not it's life-saving gift brain, right? It is not what I have my little dude here, which is my Einstein dude, which is your front of your brain, your prefrontal cortex, that is responsible for and helps you with being compassionate for yourself, problem solving, creativity, motivation, goal setting, achievement, all happens in the front of the brain. Now, when we are in the washing machine, often we are in the midbrain, in Frankenstein brain. So to be able to do that review sometimes is helpful, to get some help from somebody else who can kind of pull that stuff out. Because I know one of the things you advocate, which is, I think it's the S in broads, isn't it, that we talk about, is doing a skills audit or a strengths audit or something like that, when that's really difficult for women to do, I've noticed in the work that I do as a coach. How do you use like review with the skills kind of audit that you suggest?
Yeah, it's they are related to each other, and you're right. I think sometimes it's about getting somebody to help you with that, because they give perspective. And actually, it's why I think in the work that you do and I do with clients, is it's about the fact that sometimes you need somebody that doesn't have an emotional skin in the game with you. Yeah. You know, family, close friends can maybe advise you on things that they, because they want to stop the hurt, they want to protect you, but actually sometimes their advice isn't always the best advice because they're too emotionally involved. But what the skills bit does with the review is, the skills bit is all about going, okay, like my survival rate in my life so far of everything that life has thrown at me is 100%. And I use that quote a lot, and I love that quote, because actually, do you know what? If we could take like an odds of 100%, we'd go for it, wouldn't we? And so we have to remember that we've survived everything so far that life has thrown at us, however hard it's been. But the skills bit is about saying, look across your life, and I tend to get people to look at in decades, you know, look at each decade of your life and just recall the key things that you remember that went on in that decade. And they could be good or bad stuff, positive or negative stuff, but key life moments, you know, like, you know, your first day at school, or, you know, going to university, or, you know, meeting your life partner, or the first time your heart got broken, or getting married, having children, you know, good things, bad things, however you see it, but seminal moments. And sometimes they're really small things, but things that really resonate with you, you know, a difficulty that you got through, and getting people to look at those events and go, what skills did I need to get through that? And often it's things like, you know, the ability to communicate or to influence, you know, to deal with challenges, to work with other people, you know, fight to problem solve, make a decision, you know, some really key transferable skills is what has got you through all of those key life points that you've been through. And actually just by reminding ourselves of that and going, I have got this huge toolkit of stuff that I have drawn upon in these different circumstances. And like I said, most of those tools are transferable skills. And actually, we don't always give ourselves credit. And like you say, I think women in particular, we don't give ourselves credit for all those skills. You know, that juggling you do that involves getting out of the house in the morning, three different children to possibly two different, you know, school and nursery, getting yourself to work, you know, everybody's fed, got a packed lunch, you know, all of that stuff, all of that juggling and things that we do. Let's give ourselves credit for all of those skills that it takes to make those things happen.
Yeah. You know, you've done all of that before you've even started your day.
Yes.
So it's exactly. I also like to, building on that, talk about what strengths and qualities and attributes do you have. Now, I know when I work with women, I'll tell you the difference here. When I work with women, they kind of shrink when I ask that question. If I say, tell me about your strengths, your talents, your attributes, they sort of shrink and they go, oh, I don't know, I don't, you know. And I can notice, even through, you know, a 30-minute call that we've had, what they are. But women seem to be very reluctant to kind of share those, right? However, when I work with guys, they literally will just rattle off a list. And I love that about them, you know. This is not dissing them whatsoever. I love the fact that they'll just go, yeah, well, I'm, I don't think most of them say they're organized, but, you know, if that was a strength that I have, I'm really organized, or I'm a great listener or a brilliant communicator. They just say it and they rattle it off. And why I think that's really important, when you add it to the skills audit of your life that you're talking about, you can lean into those strengths in these curveball moments. So if I'm a really organized person, or I'm a great listener, how do I lean into that in this situation to help me take that step? You know, what option does it give me when I can do that? And then it's amazing where your brain goes. It starts getting really, really creative about things.
Yeah, and I think it's that thing, you know, for me, it's about that reminder to go, you already have all the skills you need to deal with this circumstance. And I think that's like one of the realizations for me in my life. I've gone, hang on a minute, whilst this situation is maybe new and different and something I haven't experienced before, but when I actually do that skills audit, if I think about what are the skills I'm going to need to deal with this, I've already got them.
Yes.
You know, we deal with change all the time, mostly without even realizing it, which is why our fear of change is so interesting, because actually we change and evolve and we adapt every single day, don't we? We get up and the weather's different and the world's different and something's gone on. But, you know, and you already have all the skills that you need in order to deal with whatever is in front of you, because you have the ability to communicate, to ask, to influence, to make decisions, to all of those things. You've already done it. So this isn't to be feared, because you've already got everything that you need in your toolkit. So away you go.
Yeah. And just to say, there really is the paradox around that with change. On the one hand, I said earlier that our brain doesn't like change. You know, it likes comfort, predictability and support. But on the other hand, it is incredibly adaptable, because it's neuroplastic. And that means, with neuroplasticity, it is constantly adapting and changing to its new structure. And how do we embrace neuroplasticity? That's by getting stuff wrong. It's by failing, because the brain's working on error correction. So then that becomes its new thing. So going back to the confidence stuff, and your comfort zone, it is like, not like an elastic band, this stuff in life where this seems incredibly challenging and I don't have enough confidence to do it. Whenever you take the tiniest bit of action, you're learning something, your brain adapts to that. So it's changed, but it's adapting to it. That becomes its new structure. It's not like an elastic band. You kind of stretch the comfort zone and then it pings back. That becomes the new comfort zone.
Yeah.
So paradoxically, whilst our brain wants to keep us safe and alive by not changing, on the other hand, the brain is also incredibly adaptable to change.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it?
Amazing. I mean,
it's
stuff.
I love, yeah. Yeah, it's why I love talking about this stuff, because it is, it's amazing how brain and body, you know, just like work in harmony, don't they? And like you say, we, our capacity as human beings to adapt is unbelievable.
And that's resilience, and we have it within us. So the one tool we have, and we have on us all of the time, is our body. And this is so simple. When you understand how to tune your nervous system, how to understand how your brain is working, how you can use your body to support you to build resilience, it's amazing what you can achieve.
Yeah. And it's really interesting, maybe, you know, in some ways coming full circle, because actually when I was first diagnosed as having gone through the menopause in my early 30s, I ended up going to see a specialist, a fantastic lady who specialized in menopause and who was based in London. And, you know, there were just hardly any of those women around. And I happened to be fortunate enough to find one. But the number one thing that she taught me just around, simply around the menopause, as it turned out, was about tuning into my body and becoming really alert and aware to the different signals that my body was sending me, and to listen to those and start to learn what it was that they were telling me. And that was obviously around, you know, my hormones, you know, because then we started with hormone treatment and things. But that's when I really started to tune into that. And it just has made such a massive difference. You know, I'm now, as you know, a massive gym bunny. You know, I go to the gym five, six times a week. But actually that really, really tuning into my gut and to my body and my muscles and all of that interconnection, and then my brain, it's a game changer.
Massive game changer.
Well, I think there's, I mean, we could go on, couldn't we, Joe? Because I think there's so much we could talk about. But as you said, there's a guide that we've done. It's got top tips for going from lost to leading in your life. And it's available, like you say, in the podcast notes, the access to that. Good stuff. Well, I think it's time to say goodbye, but thank you very much for listening. I am woman. I am me. I am enough.
You've been listening to the Broadroom podcast. If you're our kind of broad and you'd like to take a seat in the Broadroom, download our free guide full of tips. You'll find it in the show notes.